I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning and got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. Biden White House is urging the House of Representatives to take up the $95 billion foreign aid package to Ukraine for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan that the Senate passed yesterday morning. Speaker Mike Johnson is now reportedly requesting a one-on-one meeting with President Biden to discuss the issue.
So that was Mika Brzezinski, MSNBC, along with Morning Joe, talking about Biden wants more push. Got to get that Ukraine funding out the door right away. Note as to how it was even phrased by Mika Brzezinski. And it just underlines and highlights what the real push is here for this money. Inside this $95 billion package includes, obviously, money for Ukraine. No kidding. And money for Israel, $14.5 billion for Israel, which they desperately needed. And then, of course, money for some of our allies in the Pacific, Taiwan and other places. But Ukraine is the key. And that has been the sledgehammer that Chuckie Schumer and the Biden White House have been using to hit in the face of Republicans who want to hold off any funding unless we actually have a true closing of our border. Not more agents to go down and help document them quicker, process them, send them, you're free to roam about the country. Maybe in 8-10 years, you can come back and we can discuss if you have a reason to be here. And by then, of course, bring your family with you. And if you have children born here during that time, they are automatic U.S. citizens. If we were going to deport, we can't deport them. They're U.S. citizens at that point. Nobody wants that to happen anyway. And then trying to deport those that have already come in during the Biden administration, that's going to be extremely tricky and difficult. But you start with, one, close the border, period. Two, all those convicted, not just charged, but convicted of felony crimes are deported to their past nation. I don't care if they might actually have reason for asylum. They broke our laws to get into this country. Then they committed a felony while they're here. They're out. You want to put them all on one island? That's been done in the past, hasn't it? Not by our nation, but it has been done by others. The facts are the whole push has been more money for Ukraine. And even members like Senator Ted Cruz has said and made it very clear, I have supported every piece of money that we've been sending to Ukraine. But if we're not going to do something to actually get control of our border, I'm not in favor of going ahead with that. But 22 Republican senators did vote for that money for Ukraine. And that included some that I'm a little upset over, and that'd be Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. There's a case that can be made as to why he and others might have gone along with it, because they thought, well, at least it will get money to Israel, and we know they need it. I've yet to hear anything directly from Senator Kennedy, and some of the others have questions about as to why they went along with it. Thanks for joining us again. Here we are, Feb 15, 2024, the second hour or two of Larry Connors, USA, right here for you Monday through Friday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Ran into a guy the other day. He said, I heard you have a radio show. I said, well, I'm glad you finally heard about it. He said, well, a friend of mine told me, got a friend of them had told them. See, you guys are a better publicity sounding board for me than anything else we do, honestly. And when you tell a friend, they pay attention to you. So I thank anyone that comes in by either the front door of everything we're putting out or through the back door, the side door, crawl through the window. Glad to have you with us. And reminding you while we're on the air, we are also streaming video for you at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. That's one of the big ones. Also, News Talk STL, Rumble, again, a big one, Facebook or Twitter. If you miss anything of any program and you want to go back and check it or share it with someone, you can find it as an audio and or video podcast at Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com. It is that simple. So continue to share with your friends. Let's get more inside the house. Now, when Mika was bringing up this issue about how Biden is pushing to get Ukraine money pushed through, there was a reaction immediately that turned into an article by John Daniel Davidson of The Federalist. He's one of the senior editors at The Federalist. And I was just discussing this very issue in the last hour, in case you missed it, with Margot Cleveland, who is the senior legal editor at The Federalist. And she had made a remark alluding to what I'm going to tell you, and I said, well, we actually did cover that before we had you join us because I'd taken note of it. John Daniel Davidson wrote a piece that said, basically, the hysteria on Capitol Hill over Russian nukes in space was a cheap ploy to ram through Ukraine aid and kill FISA reform. What John Daniel Davidson is saying, when word came out late yesterday, and it was cryptic and a little frightening to an extent, when Ohio Congressman Mike Lee, who sits as chair of the House Intel Committee, said there's information that should be declassified so the American public can know of a serious threat to our nation. He wasn't worried about global warming. He wasn't concerned that something else might happen that would involve Trump. They were talking about that there are satellites the Russians supposedly have in space or preparing to put more into space that might even be nuclear powered, that they could go up and they could dismantle any of our satellites, communication satellites in particular, blow every piece of communication operation we have out of the water. This is not just you not being able to call your friend or text pictures and write text notes about Taylor Swift. This is about shutting down not only personal, which would include your banking, everything else like that, but also government, national security. And National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan meeting today with the Gang of Eight. That would be the top two representatives of each party in each house and briefing them fully. But again, the attitude was when it came out, Mike Turner, Ohio Congressman Mike Turner. He's the House Intel Committee. And he said, we have a national security threat related to a destabilizing foreign military capability that is so grave that President Biden should declassify all information about it immediately. And shortly after that, numerous sources were leaking out that what it amounts to is Russia wanting to put nuclear weapons into space. That in itself is frightening. There was an interesting pushback by Margot Cleveland on the theory that Russia would be capable. Margot Cleveland, again, with The Federalist, she said, considering how the war in Ukraine is going, I don't think they are capable of doing what they're putting out. In other words, it might be, as they say in a mystery novel, a red herring. All the evidence is pointing to this guy. This is the guy. And in movies, you're convinced this person did it. They did the crime. And it was a red herring. That was not the criminal. This person over here was. So maybe trying to, again, distort the truth, which would not be uncommon, and make best use of it. Now, what Sullivan did do yesterday, in saying, I'm going to be meeting with these guys, I was going to meet with them anyway, but then he insists the White House is transparent about security issues as much as it can be.
This administration has gone further and in more creative, more strategic ways dealt with the declassification of intelligence in the national interest of the United States than any administration in history. So you definitely are not going to find an unwillingness to do that when it's in our national security interest to do so. At the same time, we, of course, have to continue to prioritize and focus very much on the issue of sources and methods. We'll do that. Ultimately, these are decisions for the president to make.
Yeah, they are president decision for the president to make. But he said he's going to be briefing them and bringing them up to speed. And, of course, you had California Congressman Garcia on with Maria Bartiromo raising issues about so-called transparency and the fact of Jake Sullivan's ability.
I can neither confirm nor deny the nation of interest, the technologies involved here. But I will say that in my 47 years of life, this is the most important national security issue that this country has faced. And there's a reason why we want every member to have access to this classified information. There's a reason why we actually want the president to declassify this information. I want to be able to have detailed conversations with Maria in the morning about this so that every American understands what this is and we have the opportunity to effectively use this public information as a meaningful deterrence against it. There's a reason for it. And the fact that we wrote a letter to the president 3 weeks ago asking him for his response. We sit on the Intelligence Committee, which is only, 15, 18 folks, and we had access to this information a few weeks ago. But we needed the president to respond to this letter and with urgency.
And I have to ask, why would, if they sent a letter to him 2-3 weeks ago, asking for his response and to move forward, then that explains why Congressman Turner decided yesterday, well, I'm going to go ahead and say something about it so we can get some traction and start getting some focus on it. And here's the other part of the story. If it is true that the Russians have or are in the process of developing nuclear-powered satellites that they could send up and basically destroy our satellite, particularly our communication program, we're not talking about launching missiles into our nation from their satellites, which they might have that, obviously, as part of a plan. But to shut down all of our communications, basically a massive EMT, electromagnetic pulse, that would shut everything down, that would blind the nation. If the idea is just saying that they have it and we need to be aware of it, why would you want to keep that from the public? I would think you want the public to know that possibility exists, but that you're doing something about it. But if they sent a letter to Biden 2-3 weeks ago, members of the House Intel Committee saying, we know about this, we need a response from you, and we want you to declassify it so the American public and other members of Congress can be aware of it. But of course, if you look at it from John Daniel Davidson's viewpoint, the Federalist, it was all a ploy yesterday to basically say we need to push through Ukraine funding right now. I don't think, I would hope, no senator nor congressman would vote on Ukraine funding just because of this, quote, revelation. And it also brings into play Biden's mental health if they sent this out to him 2-3 weeks ago. Senator Chuck Schumer says the man is in perfect health.
I talk to President Biden, you know, regularly, sometimes several times in a week, or usually several times in a week. His mental acuity is great. It's fine. It's as good as it's been over the years. All this right-wing propaganda that his mental acuity has declined is wrong.
If Chuck Schumer says that he has seen President Biden speak with focus and that his mental acuity is fine, there should be some video evidence of that. That's not what we're getting day in and day out. We see video videos where he's stumbling to remember names and dates. And it's not just right-wing propaganda, because, of course, the special counsel report, in trying to help Joe Biden avoid accountability for his mishandling of classified information, that special counsel said that President Biden was having trouble remembering things, not just in his interview with the special counsel, but all the way back to 2017 when he was doing taped interviews with his ghostwriter. And the thing that's important about that is, in 2017, in interviews with his ghostwriter, he had no incentive to have a bad memory. So if he was struggling with memory all the way back then, we kind of understand why we're seeing so many troubles that he's having right now.
And, you know, one of the questions, that was, by the way, Molly Hemingway with the Federalist, editor-in-chief, responding to Chucky Schumer, saying he's just fine, don't worry about him. And she said, if you go back to 2017 when he was apparently having troubles, he was not under the stress and strain he has going on right now. The other part is that if you recall when the President Biden came out the other day to declare, the special prosecutor found no reason to file charges on me regarding my handling of classified material. That is correct. That is correct. But the other point being, the prosecutor said, we see no reason to file charges because, yes, he did mishandle material, but he would be viewed as a sympathetic old man who has trouble remembering anything by a judge or a jury, and nothing would be done about it anyway. And who wants to put him in jail the rest of his life anyway? That is what set Biden off a little bit. And then the fact that there was a claim that he didn't even remember when his son died. He said, hell yes, I remember. How could I forget? I got a rosary right here with the date on it. On that point, there are things people do block out of their minds, but sometimes it would be truly forgotten. Congressman Ronny Jackson of Texas previously was the White House doctor, under Trump, and for a period of time in the Obama administration. And he has big questions.
I want to just state the obvious. If you're not cognitively fit to stand trial or to answer accusations against you, you're obviously not cognitively fit to be the president, our commander in chief, and our head of state. And I think that, you know, we have to, at this particular point, we have to start asking the hard questions. I'm glad to see that some of the press is starting to do that. You know, I've been saying individually for a long time, since he was candidate Joe Biden, that this man's not cognitively fit to be our head of state and our commander in chief. We've had lots of evidence of that since then. A lot of people are starting to see that. Now we have the HER reports coming out, which is a completely different angle on this, an objective report from a member, from an appointee of his own DOJ, from his own administration, that's saying that he's not cognitively fit to do his job.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have that same question. On someone else who might not be fit to do the job or continue to be funny Willis, as she continues to try to prosecute Trump for election interference in Georgia, election racketeering charges. But then she's got this love affair with her special prosecutor that's under big question mark. Oh, there'll be more to come on that. That is a daytime soap opera that will continue. And in the next segment coming up, how blue sanctuary cities are saying, enough, enough, no more, or no mas. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 844-649-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1
and News Talk STL.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
I'm ready for it. How. Well, here it's fine. If you got the time.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you all so much for being here this morning. I'm here to talk a little bit about the devastating impact of the failure of Republican leadership in Congress this week to pass comprehensive immigration change and the impact that will have on both city budgets and on services that we can provide for newcomers in the city. The second is we will start to have to greenlight a set of hard decisions about budget reductions across the city to meet those costs that we know will continue to arrive. We want to talk about two of those today. While they're the first steps, they unfortunately will not be the last and may not be the hardest. This is a plan for shared sacrifice. And so in terms of our first step on city cuts, we are announcing today we will make some changes both to our services at DMV and to our services on Parks and Rec.
So Parks and Recreation and services at the DMV, driver motor vehicle, where you go get your license. In Denver, they're going to have to be cutting back. I don't know if you've been inside a DMV office lately, but there is pretty much evidence that even in areas that are not sanctuary cities and states, they're understaffed. They don't have enough people available. And some are. Some you can get. I've been in and out of some really fast, and others it's a long wait. They'll give you a number, or you enter your number, and they'll call or page you or something of that nature. You are listening then to the Democrat Denver Mayor, Mike Johnston. And in his opening remarks, we're here to deal with what the Republicans have dealt us, and that is all these illegals in our community. If he's talking about that some might have been shipped there by Governor Abbott, then you could blame Governor Abbott for shipping them there. But I will guarantee you, Governor Abbott did not go down into whatever country these illegals originated and take them out of that country and drop them inside Denver. Didn't do it. According to one source I have here, I'm trying to see if I can find a document verifying the actual source. Basically, it says more than 40,000, as they like to say, migrants, illegals, have arrived in Denver since 2022. 40,000. And they're saying Denver is at a breaking point with those additional 40,000 that started back in 2022 that are breaking point for delivering free housing, free medical care, free legal advice, free education, and other things to migrants, which means the American citizens in Denver are paying for it. Riddle me this. How many Americans living in Denver do you think are getting free housing? There might be some that are in desperate times and they do qualify. Free medical care, maybe, and or Medicare or Social Security, whatever that might be. Free legal advice, maybe. Free education for their children. Well, if they're going to public school, you could, quote, consider it free, but somebody's paying for it. They're going out of their way to take care of these. In fact, Denver, up until last month, according to this source, has put $42 million up until last month into caring for Joe Biden's flood of illegals. The cost might amount to more than $180 million this year. Here's my fact source, according to the New York Times. New York Times admitting things are looking bad in the Mile High City. And the mayor says the $9 million coming in from the federal government to be dedicated to migrants is simply not enough. So to do it, we're going to have to start making changes. We're going to have to look at our city budget, and that means bring out the axe. And here's a Denver TV report on some of the proposals.
The cuts that are being asked of my office in a year like this, in 2024, with what we're up against, is absolutely unacceptable.
In a city that's asking every department to cut its budget, Denver Clerk and Recorder Paul Lopez says his office will not comply.
We're not going to participate in any kind of budget cuts. It's 2024. We have a presidential election.
Lopez says Mayor Mike Johnston asked him to cut nearly $1 million out of his budget to help the city pay for the cost of the migrant crisis. Johnston has said the city is short $180 million this year, putting the blame on the more than 40,000 migrants who've arrived in Denver. Every office from the police department to the animal shelter is facing cuts.
It's a slippery slope when you talk about defunding elections. It's a slippery slope, especially now when our democracy's at stake.
Yeah, our democracy's at stake again. I know we're a republic, but they're talking about the democracy system, basically, democracy. I'm tired of trying to correct them. Bottom line is, they are going to admit, we're not going to go ahead and go along with your cuts, Mayor. We're not going to do it. This is the clerk for the city of Denver.
That's a slippery slope, especially now when our democracy's at stake. $1 million means that you're cutting operations, you're not fulfilling security mandates, or you're cutting personnel.
The Office of Clerk and Recorder in Denver is an independently elected, nonpartisan position. The mayor's office told us budget cuts were merely requested, not required, for offices like Lopez's that don't directly report to the mayor.
And I hope there's a willingness to learn about what we do before we are asked to cut from it.
In a presidential election year that also will see several local elections, Lopez says cutting $1 million from his budget will leave elections and election workers vulnerable.
Under no circumstance am I willing to sacrifice the safety, the security, the transparency, or the accessibility of our elections.
His answer to the mayor is clear.
It's 2024, and our democracy is at stake. So no.
No, not going to. I love it. Here's the mayor of Denver telling his head of the city clerk office, cut your budget by $1 million. Nope, not going to. And that's where the fight started. Actually, it's where it continues. And I'm looking at some of these stories. There was a family. I'm trying to find exactly where they were, but they actually offered to take in some illegals. They were not in the Denver area, but they were offering to take in some, you know, folks that needed housing. And they said, suddenly, four or five of them showed up on our doorstep saying, we're here. They said they got no advance notice, how many there were going to be, or if there are more coming. So they're trying to make accommodations. I think it's an elderly couple, and probably, I don't mean way elderly, but I don't know if they think they're going to get reimbursed by the government for feeding them and housing them. If they're counting on that, that might not be a good thing to count on. And maybe they just are so liberal-minded, they thought, well, we've got room, we can share it. Well, thank you for your generosity and your caring for fellow man. I pray that you're not hurt in the process. In the meantime, Biden's Department of Homeland Security, according to a new report in the Washington Post, Department of Homeland Security is considering having ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, release thousands of illegal aliens already in their custody and release them into American cities and towns, claiming they're going to need billions from Congress to avoid carrying out the plan in an extortion scheme, what it appears to be. U.S. Immigration Customs drafting the plan to release thousands of immigrants and slash its capacity to hold detainees because the Senate budget, or rather the border bill, did not get through as they wanted it to. And then back to Denver in the nearby Lakewood community, they're worried that now they're talking about putting a lot of folks that are in Denver into our community. They can't handle it in Denver, now they want to put them in our community. Bottom line is, it's a crisis that recognized now by the Biden administration, sanctuary cities are at a breaking point. And then there's one other piece of this puzzle, one of many, I should add. You're going to see the numbers for January as to how many crossed the border illegally. That would have been, as you well know, the first month of this year. We are now in the second month of this year. You're going to see when they come out with them, according to some numbers that have already been put out, 61,000 invaded our border in January. 61,000, well, that's way down. Yes, it is. Now, how did that come to be? Apparently, there was a deal at Biden's urging. The Mexican Army, National Guard, Mexican immigration officers have now been rushed into the northern borderlands just after Christmas. They're now rounding up tens of thousands of migrants in Piedras Negras and other cities, and then they're putting them on buses and planes, delivering them to the most southern states along the border of Guatemala. Why are they doing that? Well, apparently Biden has a deal with the Mexican President Obrador to shut down a lot of illegals coming across the border because, oh my God, look at the calendar. This is election year. The timing is so great. It's going to be hard for me to sit here and tell you we got another 100, 200,000 coming across the border in Feb and again in March when there were only 67,000 in January. No one wants to come to the city with a shining light on the hill anymore? No, they want to, but they're being rounded up and sent farther south because Obrador wants to make Biden look well and good. And they started doing this back in 2023 of October, trying to get them moved around a little bit so they don't look like they're all coming across the border to invade our country. It's a shell game. Don't fall for it. And coming up, some of those coming in who could be terrorists, and then what they found in California says, they're here. They're here.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me. On Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called too many times. You can call me, baby. Can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we're talking about illegals and the possibility of terrorists coming into our nation. Earlier in today's program, I was talking about how the Department of Homeland Security and the Health and Human Services had to admit that they had not been properly vetting where children, unaccompanied children, were being sent. They would show up at the border. They would have a phone number in their pocket or maybe written on their hand or their arm, and they didn't speak enough English. Maybe they're too young to speak much at all. And the Border Patrol or an NGO, if they were handed over to the non-government organizations that supposedly are taking care of these kids, they would call the number. I have a child here. Juanita, she says, or maybe the name's been to her, if they're too young to speak at all. Oh, yes, yes, that was my niece, my coming. I was expecting her. Can you send her to me? And we would, at taxpayer expense. Without vetting who the child is going to and what's going to happen to them once they get there. Well, a government watchdog agency decided to take a look at some 300 cases. 300. And they found numerous instances where, one, the children got sent to places where they were put to hard slave labor or working in dangerous situations in meat-cutting facilities, or two, they just fell off the face of the earth. No one knows where they went. And the other, some being found in sex dens. That was 300 children they were checking on over a two-month period when there were something like 80,000-plus children, actually closer to double that, being released into our country. And they don't know where those children are. Anyone on the left who is all about this open border policy and allowing this to happen, How can you sleep at night? Seriously. How can you sleep at night not knowing what's going on with those children? And that you're facilitating child trafficking, much less giving money to the cartel. I'm worried about the health of those kids now and in the future. And they may end up being part of a criminal group because look at the way they've been treated. And these NGOs, I said national, they're non-government organizations, are making tons of money on this. Some might have actually got into it on true humanitarian reasoning and thinking we can do something to help these kids and others. And others saw, oh, there's money to be made here. Don't have to do anything. Take them in, process them out, we're done. Send us a check. And we told you previously about a concern about the number of illegals entering that are Chinese-age military men, and especially those caught on night scope or by animal cams set up by ranchers along the border. If they're sneaking across at night, then they're trying to hide something, maybe transporting drugs and our children, or they're coming in to, as they say, form a fifth column. It's a tactical military term. You get behind the enemy's barriers, and you're inside their camp. It is basically a modern-day Trojan horse. And if they're trying to cross one particular area, well, then they will flood a zone where they know the agents are. They will flood them with others who want to get across, and they'll be tied up with them so they cannot track down these. And then what do they do when they get here? Last July, there was a discovery of a bio lab in Reedley, California. Now, Reedley is in Fresno County, near the San Joaquin Valley, about 22 miles east-southeast of Fresno. The House Select Committee issued a report about this lab after several investigations. They arrested a guy on suspicion of manufacturing and distributing misbranded medical devices and making false statements to federal agencies in connection with the lab. He is a citizen of China and also lived in Canada, but there's more to it than just him trying to pass off fake or false or inadequate medical applications and devices. They found a number of infectious diseases, hazardous chemicals, including COVID-19, malaria, HIV, and hepatitis. It was full of lab mice, medical waste. Some of the pictures that I've seen show boxes with various items in them, paperwork and or chemicals, stacked almost ceiling high in a warehouse that looked to be almost abandoned. But they were working in there producing what and for what purpose? The Fresno County Public Health Department in July of last year got in and took all the biological agents they found and destroyed them. But that's what they found. What was shipped out of there before they got into it and realized it? The city took over hundreds of mice. They were being kept for lab testing. And said they were even kept in inhumane conditions, according to the court. City took possession of them, and 175 were already dead, and then they euthanized 700 plus mice. Well, those mice were going to be killed one way or the other, but they were at least put out of their misery a little earlier. The CDC went in and tested the substances and detected again at least 20 potentially infectious agents, including coronavirus, HIV, hepatitis, and herpes. The tenant was listed as Prestige Biotech. Registered in Nevada, unlicensed for business, actually, in California. The guy identified as the company president said, well, we had moved some assets to another defunct company after we went under, and that was, again, this Reedley warehouse they were in. And the other addresses turned out to be bum addresses. What were they manufacturing there? What was the plan? What was the plot? They're not messing around with those kinds of diseases unless they have plans to do something with them. Could we agree on that? They're not there researching to see if we can come up with a cure for cancer and help the world. No, they're there to do something to this nation and our people. And how many more are in there? And you know how this actually came about to begin with, how it got uncovered? By chance, pure chance. There was a code enforcement worker touring a neighborhood, and he saw, or she, I should say, saw a green water hose sticking out of what was supposed to be an abandoned warehouse. Well, why would that be on, and why would water be coming out of it, or whatever's coming out of it? She got somebody to help her investigate it, and they found out there was your lab. And they have no idea how many infectious diseases were transported from that lab or to other labs of the process. Against that backdrop, you know we've had on the program numerous times China expert Gordon G. Chang. He has warned us over and over and over about the Chinese and what they're trying to do to get information on Americans that could be used against us. He suggested in the beginning that that's why they were working on COVID. They're basically looking for a way to attack a subsection of our community. And those who are sending, and I'm not going to tell you this happens to all of you, nor all companies are involved in it, but if you send in your DNA to a company, even though it's got a U.S. address, to trace your heritage, to learn more about your ancestry, odds are that then goes to a China lab or somebody connected to China, and they may send you back a report of what you've got or don't have in your heritage, but they also keep it on file. As Gordon has said, the Chinese now have the greatest file of human DNA than anyone. Why? Because they're maybe looking to weaponize something that could be used against part of us, if not all of us. And Gordon has also raised the issue about the lab and other threats. Stand by.
Across that border, we are seeing Chinese soldiers come across. And really what we're talking about is China putting together the infrastructure in the U.S. to attack the U.S. So clearly we've got to secure that border or we're going to be fighting on our own soil. That lab in Reedley, California, the secret Chinese biological weapons facility, that can't be the only one that China has. And then you put together these images of recent Chinese migrants coming into the U.S. less than 3 weeks, taking target practice with sniper rifles and pistols. So really what we have here is the makings of a Chinese army, not in China, but in the United States itself. And the Biden administration is not tracking these people.
That is even more scary, isn't it? But there's no surprise. We're not tracking the illegals they let in that they know are coming in, and especially the children, as I was outlining for you earlier. And as Gordon said, in addition to the Reedley lab, how many more are in our nation that we don't know about yet? There's a piece of information I left out about this lab and others like it. And when you hear this, I don't want you to go in a panic, but if you think you've been exposed to one of these and you're not feeling that well, maybe you'd need to see your doctor. I'll leave that to you. because in some of these chemicals they found being stored, they also turned up medical devices that were developed on site, such as instant COVID and pregnancy test devices. You know, the kind you get that you're a woman, you think, maybe I'm pregnant, and maybe you pee on a strip, but it shows pink, blue, or whatever it's supposed to indicate you are or you're not. In that case, it didn't actually get into you, but if they're also dealing with some of these COVID nasal swabs you put up your nose, what is on that swab before you put it into your nose? We have to live with extreme caution nowadays, more so than ever. It's not just as we had a couple of women apparently on a cruise down in the Bahamas say they went on the cruise ship and went ashore and were given spike cocktails. Next thing they know, they're passed out and being raped. They were on a cruise ship, and the cruise ship said this is a good place where you're going to go and visit. And then comes this story. While we're fighting all the illegals coming in, if you are seeking true asylum, you do have a right to come into our country. Many of them coming across the border are making that claim, and it might apply to some, but most are coming just for jobs. We know that. So when you see job numbers are going great and everything, don't rush into that and think it is a good idea, because odds are the jobs went to illegals. In fact, one report I have right here says nearly all, last year, nearly all new U.S. jobs went to foreign-born workers. We don't have an open door for those coming just for a better job. You have to stand in line like everyone else, unless you want to come across the border illegally. And those that we took out of Afghanistan, supposedly vetting, they had a right for asylum to get out of Afghanistan because they or their families had helped our troops over the years we were there. But we didn't really vet all of them, as it turns out. And now Joe Biden is saying, authorizing the Department of Homeland Security to loosen work requirements to allow Palestinians into the U.S. so they can get American jobs. Now, granted, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, anywhere around that area, they're in danger. And not just because of Israel, but also because of Hamas and Hezbollah and other terrorist groups that will kill fellow Palestinian Muslims if they don't do what they tell them to. But he is now directing the deferral or removal of any certain Palestinians who are present in the U.S., defer it for 18 months. And he wants to open employment for non-citizens who've been deferred, in other words, expedite it. So Palestinians coming in with the help of our government, some may be coming across the border, they're going to get jobs. This is a plan that ultimately ensures most Palestinians cannot be deported for the next 18 months, a plan pitched to Joe Biden by the far-left Council on American-Islamic Relations, CARE. Are we being set up for a takeover? Have we already been set up? We'll continue to document things for you. Coming up, the Rob Carter Show, and as always, I remind you, remember our pledge, one nation under God.